Open our ears, O Lord, to hear your word and to know your voice. Open our hearts and strengthen our wills. Remove all grumbling and complaining and jealousy from our hearts, that we may serve you gratefully and generously, our true strength and redeemer, now and always. Amen. Please be seated. So good morning. Glad you're all here. There's a lot going on in our readings this morning, and I could have written a sermon for several hours on some of that material, but I'll try to stay short and focused. I want to take a look at some of our own everyday behaviors that strain our relationship with God and with each other. Today we read once again in the Hebrew text in Numbers about those ever-grumbling Israelites. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Never happy, never content, always wanting more, never satisfied, and certainly never grateful for all that God has done for them. Never enough. If you recall, I pointed out some of these incessant grumblers back in early August when we had a similar account from Exodus. Now, we identify seven deadly sins as pride and envy, gluttony and lust, anger, greed, and sloth. Grumbling is not part of that list, but I'm suggesting maybe we might want to add it. And while we're at it, let's put jealousy in that list as well. A full confession here, I've been known to grumble at times. Grumble, complain, moan, whatever you want to call it, I've done it. And how about you? Are you a grumbler? You know, if you are, I think you and I are probably in very good company. It seems to be inherent in our human nature, or at least in mine. And I believe grumbling was a pattern of life for the Israelites. I think it could be considered one of our national pastimes. And many people think it's their God-given right to be able to grumble and complain. But grumbling is contagious. Grumblers love to hang out with other grumblers. It can be an infectious disease if left untreated. I have a good friend who claims his mother would say, "If you can't say anything good about someone, come sit next to me." If there was a video that was made this past week of all your activity, all the things you said, all the things you did, all the things you complained about, would you be willing to share that video with us? The root of grumbling is unbelief. It starts with someone who has little or no spiritual insight, no faith in God that all will be well. The perspective of the past and the present gets distorted. The past quickly becomes the golden age when everything becomes perfect. The present is now different, so it can't possibly be as good as the past. We can't be expected to be joyful about the present. And to look optimistically towards the future, forget that. It can only get worse. Doom and gloom. Time to grumble. Having no faith or trust in God who knows and hears all of our needs and concerns. A God who generously blesses us with all good things. So the next time you catch yourself grumbling, stop and ask yourself, where is my faith in God's presence? And the next time you hear a friend grumbling, stop and point out the presence of God in their life and all the blessings that they get showered with each and every day. So in our scripture today, the Israelites were grumblers of flesh. There were lots of them. Remember, grumbling is contagious. They were completely oblivious to the fact that they didn't deserve anything, but that God was being generous in giving them manna that they didn't have to work for. Just go out and gather it. It's free, folks. But their ungrateful response, what? Manna again? All we get is this bread from heaven. We want to go back to Egypt. We want some fish, cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic. Certainly delicious delicacies. But they now seem to have amnesia regarding the harsh life they had of slavery that they endured under Pharaoh back in Egypt. Each day should have been a day of thanksgiving for them, for all that God has done in providing this miraculous daily bread. But the Israelites demanded more. They demanded flesh. They demanded meat. And God gave them more. In fact, quail to a gluttonous amount that no one could ever consume in a year, let alone a month. It all came at a cost, however. God refused to bless this flesh. And in the end, it all became a curse with plagues and death. They were also grumblers of jealousy. How dare that Eldad and Medad prophesy in the camp? So Moses' assistant Joshua felt they were stealing the thunder of Moses, diminishing his leadership and his relationship with God. Joshua couldn't let that happen. But we hear Moses calling him out for being jealous of Eldad and Medad. Moses was only too happy to have the Spirit of God rest upon all the people directly connected to God. Moses had reached his breaking point, however, with the Israelite community and also with God. Why was God punishing him after all he had done? Why couldn't the Israelites be content and grateful? Why can't everyone do the Lord's work? Why must they be jealous of their fellow kinsfolk? Here we catch a glimpse of Moses grumbling to God. But God doesn't get angry with Moses over this like God had done with the Israelites. In fact, God listens intently and comes up with a solution to make things bearable for Moses. After all, Moses is God's chosen one. And Moses is taking his concerns and grumblings directly to God. He's not grumbling about God to the Israelites. He complains not of the Lord, but to the Lord. So when we complain to another friend, we're spreading the infection. Instead, take your grumbling to God. Pray over it and let God handle the issues for you. Don't infect others with your grumbling. Take it directly to the greatest healer of all things. And if we look forward in Numbers in the next chapter, Moses' brother and his sister, Miriam and Aaron, they're extremely jealous of him, even though they know full well that God had elevated Moses for a role of leadership and honor and respect. Who in their right mind would confront God in their fit of jealousy? Who would even think, let alone speak ill, and confront God? God sees and hears everything. Miriam and Joshua may not have had the physical appetite for flesh that the rest of the Israelites had, but they instead had hungry egos. And as we quickly find out, God doesn't take kindly to hungry egos. God struck Miriam with leprosy, and because of her and Joshua's rebellious ways, they were eventually forbidden to enter the promised land. Let me turn here a little bit and set the stage for our gospel passage. Early in the 9th chapter of Mark, we experience the transfiguration on the mountaintop with Peter, James, and John. And as they're descending the mountain, they learn that someone had brought their possessed son to the disciples to be exorcised. But they weren't able to expel the demon. Jesus, we see, is progressively losing his patience with his disciples' inability to have faith. "You faithful generation," he says to them. He knows his time on earth is reaching an end, and he still has so much to teach this pack of followers. So Jesus expelled the demon from the boy and healed several more people in need, and then he and his disciples made their way from Galilee to Capernaum. And on the way, Jesus shared with them that his time was quickly coming to a tragic end. This was unfathomable to the disciples. But their conversation quickly switched to personal grumbling and complaining. Which of the 12 was the greatest? Who could outdo the other? Who was Jesus' favorite? Certainly it had to be between Peter, James, and John, since they had been part of that dazzling transformation on the mountain. But the others wouldn't hear of that. Grumbling and jealousy. The closest followers of Jesus behaving this way. So, from our passage today, we hear that the disciple John is reporting to Jesus that there are strangers casting out demons in the name of Jesus. How dare they? No, Lord, others that are not part of our group should not be doing this. It should only be us. You've chosen us and we are special. But Jesus quickly calls out John's grumbling of jealousy and tells him to lay off. You guys aren't performing. Are these non-followers making you all look bad? Is their faith stronger than yours? Do not stop him. For no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. Jesus isn't buying the judging and the finger pointing and the jealousy that John is tossing. Look to your own performance and judge your own self, Jesus says. And please, please don't put stumbling blocks in front of your brothers and sisters who are trying to do good, just so it can make you look better. This is not a competition. So do we share some of the mentality that John is exhibiting in the gospel? Could it be that we exhibit a jealousy towards others and we intentionally put stumbling blocks in their way so that they can't be successful? What are some of the stumbling blocks we drop in front of others? How are we preventing the gospel of Christ from touching the lives of others? Now bear in mind, stumbling blocks can easily be disguised as our own hands or our feet or our eyes, as Jesus points out. And I'll add to that, stumbling blocks could be our own voice or the lack of our voice. What stumbling blocks are we placing in front of our own selves that keep us from a greater relationship with God? What kind of stumbling blocks do our own eyes, feet, and hands do to prevent us from growing closer to God and in God? Now, I am not suggesting that the maiming practice that Jesus talked about is something we should do. Obviously, though, Jesus thinks that we all should take some very abrupt action to rid ourselves of things that cause us to sin, that push us away from a full relationship with God. So first up, let's get rid of the grumbling stumbling block. Look at all things as a gift from God. Welcome it, treasure it, be grateful for it, no matter how disappointing it could be. If it's not what you were expecting, take it to God in prayer and let it stay there. Let God do the work. Be the healing medication for the illness of grumbling. And second, knock down the stumbling block of jealousy. Does jealousy make you a better person? I think not. One sign of jealousy is when it's easier to show sympathy and concern and weep with those who weep than it is to exhibit joy and rejoice with those who rejoice. Rejoice in the success of others. Let's break down the stumbling blocks that prevent us from embracing the diversity of race and ethnic background and human sexuality. We are all God's children, created by God and loved by God. And our skin color, our ethnic background, and our sexual preference create a diverse and beautiful fabric of God's creativity. Push away the stumbling blocks of discrimination, injustice, prejudice, and religious beliefs. Let our own hands and feet and voice be that of Jesus in speaking up and bringing an end to unfairness and inequality. Let's remove the stumbling block that prevents us from sharing our excess with those in need, or prevents us from giving generously or loving unconditionally. Let us work to bring healing to a hurting world. My friends, I pray that today each and every one of us can bring about the kingdom of God here on earth, a new world order of joy and happiness, of camaraderie and loving engagement, of justice and peace for all. I pray that our relationship with our Creator will intensify, and that we can assist all God's people in rejoicing in God's spirit of generosity and love. Amen.